The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
We started off the year, Bob started preaching on the first Sunday of January 2018. And one of the declarations that he made was that this is going to be a year where we learn to be a people who intentionally draw from the Spirit. Know how to draw from the Spirit. Bob laid some foundations in that sermon that I want to encourage you. If you have not heard it, get online, listen to it. I preached a follow-up message last week. Get online, hear that. I'm going to kind of continue on that same vein because this is such a critical thing. It's such a big deal, and I believe it's such an opportunity. I believe God is opening the door for understanding of what it looks like to walk in the Spirit, how to live in the Spirit, how to live from the Spirit. Last week I call it entering into a rest. But one of the things that Bob really laid a foundation in is he really articulated what has happened to the spirit of a man, to a woman that has been born again. This whole idea of the fullness of the Godhead that bodily dwelled in our Lord, and we somehow think of Jesus out there, but how about all the scriptures that talk about Christ in us, the hope of glory? How about the scriptures that talk about the fact that we have been born again, not with with corruptible seed, but with incorruptible seed through the Word of God, and that we have been impregnated in our spirits to where there's a commingling of the Spirit of God and our spirits, our, like Bob says, our small s spirit and the big S spirit of God that is commingled in us. And there is a place inside of us that we don't have to go looking all over creation saying, the kingdom is here, the kingdom is there. If I could only reach this plateau, that echelon of truth, if I could only get a hold of this. No, it's all complete and it is within us. Bob made a statement, it's not that God has withheld anything from us. We haven't learned how to apprehend and to get a hold of that which is already deposited inside. Yeah. And Bob just laid a foundation on the first Sunday of the month, and I got excited in my spirit. Last week I shared a little bit. I started to share about how about 2 weeks before that, the Lord was just showing me how much of my time, how much of the time my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, my memories, the things that I love, the things that I hate, the interpretation of my soul with the human experience that I have had, how much chatter there was in my head. And I remember the Lord just, it was like I was grieved before the Lord. I said, God, I spend so much time in my head, you know, and God does things like this to me because he wants to make an exclamation point. I believe a lot of the things that happen to me, it's because that's happening in the body of Christ. You know, I like what Bob says again, we haven't, as pastors, we haven't arrived at some kind of a destination where we sit on a shelf of righteousness and that we can't experience the things that each of us experiences. And so I was going through this time, but it was really highlighted to me of how much time my mind was distracted with the things of earth. How much time my mind was spent in fending off the guilt and shame and failures of the past and my shortcomings of who I am as a pastor, as a husband, as you name it. And how much mental energy, how much real estate in my head was being taken up just by the stuff that was endless chatter. Laid a foundation last week that the enemy of our soul has a job description. That job description is to incessantly, day and night, night and day, make accusation against us. I mean, it's his. If he's not doing that, he's not getting his job done. If his minions aren't assisting him in accomplishing his goal, I don't know. I can just imagine what that cruel taskmaster would do with his minions. You ever think of the structures of the demonic? I don't know. I don't go there too much, but I just know that there's a structure that isn't seen and that is more real than what we see, taste, touch, and feel. I believe that there's a weightier substance in the unseen realm than there is even in the seen realm. It's just weighed out differently. It's judged differently. That's why we don't look at the things which are seen, which are temporal, but we look at the things which are unseen, which are eternal, right? So last week, I really challenged us with to boil it down to two scriptures out of Hebrews. The writer wrote, "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Let us fear lest any of us should seem to fall short of entering into that rest." Let us fear. I mean, there should be like a holy reverence, a terror, if you will, of the thought that we could run through this life with nothing but the chatter of our head going on. You know, with nothing but the barrage of the past and people's accusations, the devil's accusations, the things where we've fallen short, the fear of the future, and where all of that is just taking up the mental real estate in our heads, and that we have never found a place to enter into the rest. I believe that entering into the rest is when our soul, okay, right, spirit that is absolutely infused and commingled with the Spirit of God, our body, which I believe is amoral, our body isn't good or bad. Amen. Our body is just whatever the receptors of our soul is dictating to our body does good or does evil. Does that make sense?
Yep. It's true.
Whatever we have our antennas up to, whatever our reality is in here, is what is transmitted to our bodies, and our bodies walk it out. So the key is to find a way and to find a place, and I believe to have a faith to believe that there is a place of rest where we can enter in. I do not want to fall short of entering into that rest. We found out last week there were three things that kept the Israelites out of the place of rest, which for them was the land of Canaan, possessing the Canaan. It's a type, it's a shadow, it's a picture of where we're at with our souls, right? The Canaan of our hearts that are being subdued and conquered, being put into subjection to what's already true in the Spirit.
Good.
Okay? There's an interesting scripture. It's in Luke, I think it's chapter 20, somewhere towards the end. And it says this, Jesus is talking about all the things that are going to come upon people that are believers, that they're going to be brought to synagogues, that they're going to be put to death, that there's going to be great persecution. All these horrific things are going to happen. Husbands are going to betray, you know, wives, fathers, children, fathers, and that there's going to be this chaos and this persecution that's going to come. I mean, how many know there's an exceedingly great and precious promise in the Scripture that says those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution? Well, Jesus ends up talking after that. He says, in patience, possess your soul. There is a possession of the Canaan of our soul that God has given us an ability to do. And when we possess our souls, where all the chatter happens, where all the stuff that takes place, when we can possess that and bring it into the place of rest, not out there somewhere, not arrived at some kind of a spiritual utopian perfection, but where it is rested in the truths that we already know in our spirit. Things like, he became sin that knew no sin so that you could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Things like, everything that pertains to life and godliness, you have already got. Things like, you have been made to be partakers of the divine nature. See, we can either give ourselves to the chatter of the world, or we can give ourselves to the rest that's already in our spirit. where the works have been accomplished. They're a done deal. They're finished from before the foundation of the earth. So last week I left us with, I want to talk a little bit about how do we get into that rest? What is this elusive rest? I mean, I've heard this stuff for years, and it's like it's just, I believe something was ignited when Bob preached that it's like, dude, this is doable. We can live in rest. We don't have to be in rest and out of rest and keep going in and out like a yo-yo, feeling like we have some kind of an obligation to make judgments in all the chaos that's going on in our world and in our nation. Do you know that I am free from having to make judgments on people on Facebook that I don't agree with?
Yay. Amen.
How good a news is that? Do you know that I am free from having to make judgments about you as people? That I am not responsible for your dysfunction? I'm not responsible for your successes. I'm not responsible. No, I mean, really. You don't know how freeing that is for a pastor. There was an old mold of pastor that used to think, well, I'm responsible, and if I withhold the truth from them, their blood is going to be on my hands. Well, you know what? How do you tell everybody all the truth? And how do you make people receive truth? How can we can proclaim truth. We do our best to proclaim truth, and we try to make truth in season. We try as much as we know how to be sensitive to what the Lord is speaking to the house, to the church, to us as individuals. But the bottom line is, man, I can't control you. I don't want to control you. You want to talk about losing rest? There is a place where I can actually enter into the rest. And in that place, all the chatter is silenced. All the failure doesn't belong there. All the shortcomings, all of my inabilities, all of my inadequacies, all the stuff that I'm not, that I can't be, that you all expect that I should be because I'm a pastor, or because so many expect, all of that stuff is silenced in the secret place. That stuff is silenced in the rest place. So this place of rest is really your soul, everything that's between your spirit and your body, the rest of you, all the rest of you. I call it your heart. I call it, you know, just everything that's not your spirit and everything that's not your body. It's the touch point between spirit and body.
Yep.
It's the touch point between heaven and this earth. Yep. Your soul. And it's amazing that God allows your soul to have the final say in what you're going to release on planet Earth. Your soul. So in this place, now, would God give us something like that without an ability to be able to perform and to be able to function and to be able to release the things that he's called us to be? Is he dangling some kind of a carrot in front of you and you can say, well, Pastor Dave, this is great for you because you're the pastor and you're on that shelf of righteousness, but you don't know me. Well, I'll tell you what, you don't know me. No, I'm seriously, there is a place in the kingdom of God where you die to yourself and you are resurrected to life in Christ Jesus. And here's the deal. The Lord convicted me, and I believe this is true not just for me, but it's true for a lot of believers. So many of us live in the chatter of our minds. We haven't learned how to shut that stuff up. We give ourselves to things that want to proclaim things. Well, I don't watch television, you know, and I'm not against television. You can watch television all you want. But I want to ask you, how much of the television, how much of the internet, how much of the Facebook is chatter? How much of it is pulling you from the resting place and into the place of chaos? Just how much of it is really doing that? In patience, beloved, possess your soul. And God has given you an ability by the Spirit to put to death the chatter. But I tell you what, if you're living in the chatter is what you're going to hear. If you can find a way to enter into rest. That's why it says later on down in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, let us be diligent to enter into that rest. There is a perseverance, there is an intentionality. That's one of the things that Bob, when he spoke on that Sunday, he said, we're going to be a people that intentionally know how to live and draw from the Spirit. Because it does take intention. Because everything in this life, and we traffic in this life, right? I mean, there's always opportunity for stuff to pull you out of this place of rest. But I want to submit to you that there is a provision in the cross. There is a provision of the Spirit where we can live in rest and we can live from rest. Amen?
Good.
I want to read Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. This is Jesus' very familiar portion of Scripture. It says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what?
Rest.
Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find
rest.
For what?
Soul.
I mean, your souls can actually have rest.
Amen.
How many of you would like to have your soul in rest? Silencing all the chatter, all the stuff, all the heaviness, the weight. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So how do we get into this rest? The first thing that we need to do is, Jesus says, come to me. Did you hear through most of the worship this morning, it was kind of a call from Jesus? Come on, call and stepping out in the water. Come into my provision for my safety, where I break all fear. The call was to Jesus this morning, if you heard it. During worship, there was a clarion call to take some steps from where we're at and to come to Jesus. See, we won't get anything in the kingdom of God unless there is a turning from, unless there's a repentance. You can't live like hell and expect to receive the benefits of heaven. You can't traffic in the realm of the soul. In fact, that's really what Romans 8 says. That's being a carnal Christian, a carnally minded Christian. It's not necessarily that you're thinking of all sorts of corrupt and evil things. It's many times it's just the stuff of life that is having a place in your soul and in your mind that is elevated above what the spiritual truth is.
Good word.
So to be carnally minded, it says in Romans chapter 8, is to be an enemy with God. How many have found yourself trying to get close to God, but you're actually an enemy of God because your head is so filled with the stuff of this life? Repent. That you have to be intentional about shutting that stuff off. So, Dave, does that mean that you're just ignorant of everything that happened? No, I'm aware of what happens in the world. It just does not have superiority over the rest that I know in my spirit.
Good.
It cannot have a greater dominance in my soul than what's in my spirit. You know, I got set free when the Lord opened up Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind. What I got out of that was, God gives me permission to not be anxious. God gives me permission to not be anxious about the election. God gives me permission to not be anxious about the abortion industry. God gives me permission to not be anxious and fearful and coming under the weight of the chatter of life in any circumstance.
Good.
But he gives me a roadmap that prayer and supplication, talk to God about it. Be thankful in the middle of whatever you're going through. Gratitude, a heart of gratitude. I tell you, that's the quickest way into this spirit realm. I can't tell you, since Bob preached the first of the year, how happy my heart has been with gratitude. Is your heart happy today with gratitude? Do you know this invitation to turn from what seems like it's legitimate and responsible? Well, Dave, you got to be a responsible citizen. Yeah, I know I got to be a responsible citizen, but I'm going to be a responsible citizen from over here. Thank you very much.
Good work.
I don't need to enter into that, to where my mind and my heart and the chatter keeps me awake at night. And that's just, come on, one area. How many of you have children? And the chatter in your head is incessant. Sorry, kids. I got a bunch of them here with me today. But you know what? I love my kids. Do I agree with everything they're doing? No, no. But you know what? The chatter in my head is silenced. Because here, I have an authority and I have a power. You guys don't stand a chance, by the way. No, you do. What if we approached our children from here rather than being moved by all the chatter and the accusations? Oh, Dave, you failed here. Dave, you failed there. Dave, you blew it here. Do you remember, Dave, when you know what? If there's stuff, I repent to my kids. In fact, they kind of told us a few years back, would you quit repenting? You make us feel like we're a bunch of losers, you know? It's just that I know as a dad I blew it, but I refuse to live in the chatter of my head in the fact that I wasn't a perfect daddy. I mean, God was a perfect daddy and his kids still screwed up. So if I would have been a perfect daddy, I'd still be having kids that need me as a dad.
Good work.
And I'm still a dad. I never quit being a dad. I won't quit being a dad. You know, you're my kids. And I'll love you till the day I die. And I'll be concerned for you till the day I die. Yeah, that won't change. But I'm learning to do it from this place.
Good work. Good.
Come to me, all you who labor. How do you have a spirit that is so transformed? You must be born again. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he's talking about all this weird stuff Nicodemus couldn't wrap his head around. And he says, "Don't you know, to see the kingdom of God, to understand, to comprehend, to be able to apprehend, to be able to get a grip on the kingdom of God, you've got to be born again. Because until you're born again, your spirit is dead. It's dead to what? It's dead to the things of God. It's dead to the eternal things that are real.
Yep.
And your spirit is not have life. It cannot be submitted to the things of God. Oh, we can do some good things. I mean, there's some people out there who deny Christ. They're atheists. And they do some magnificent things. They really do. It's not that people without Christ can't do good things. They can. But I tell you, they can't go into that secret place where I'm infused with eternal wisdom.
Yeah.
Yep. Christ, my Jesus has become to me wisdom and redemption, salvation,
yeah.
Deliverance.
Good.
In this place where my spirit is commingled with the Spirit of God. In this place where my spirit is, you know that your spirit is the only thing that knows you perfectly? It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2:9, I think it is. It says that nobody knows a man but the spirit of the man that is in him. And that spirit knows you intimately. It knows every nook and cranny and crevice of your soul. And it says that so it is with God. Nobody really knows God but the spirit that is of God.
Yeah.
And that spirit knows God intimately. And you know what? It goes on to say something even better yet. It says, you haven't been given the Spirit of the world. You have been given the Spirit which is from God. That means over here, this spirit man, my spirit man knows everything about me. And by the wisdom of God, it knows the solution to all my dysfunction. It knows the solution to all of my hurt, to all of my pain. I tell you, that's the best psychiatrist couch you can find. And it's free. I mean, come on. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We keep looking out here and there for deliverance and freedom over here and over there. When I tell you, everything is available. Everything in the kingdom is available to you. And it's in here. Now, does that mean we don't need each other? We do need each other. God has designed us to need each other. God has designed us. Sometimes people need to speak to this and get it free from the chatter so that we can receive from this. So I'm not against counseling. I'm not against any of those things. If I was, I wouldn't put such value in what John and Deb do, what Judy and Daryl do, and what so many others do. It's valuable.
Yes.
It's part of the way we're created. But I tell you, ultimately, what I know about Judy and John and Deb, they're leading you to this.
There you go.
Get a hold of this. And this will be set free. Come. Come. Come to me. All you who labor. Have you felt the labor, the fatigue? You know, there's no fatigue like mental, emotional fatigue. I worked as a carpenter for 25 years. I worked hard. I have never entered and had fatigue like I've had since I started pastoring. Why? Because the battle that goes on in the head when you enter into this kind of a thing, Ken, you probably experience some of this too with being the head of a ministry and running with that, the chatter and all that. There is nothing... Please don't feel sorry for me. It's just, it has caused me to press into this. I have realized that the answers aren't here with my intelligence, with my intellect, with my suave and domineering giftings. That the answer is in there. Come to me. Where? In here, the seed of God. You know, the seed there that it's talking about? Is actually a Greek word for it's sperm, where the sperm of God has impregnated my spirit to where we are now inseparable. I know that might be graphic, maybe that's for adults only, but no, this is real. When you have become born again, that's what it means. That which was dead was impregnated by the very sperm of God, and it was brought to life. Inseparable. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden. Who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The idea there is that Jesus will give you true rest. Do you know that there, for everything that the kingdom of God has, the enemy has a false representation of it? Do you know that the enemy can give you a false rest? I have seen where people will be resisting sin and the battle is raging. And the only way they can find rest is when they give in to the sin and call it normal. When we cease to oppose the enemy, there is a false rest that comes upon us. The only way for true rest, the only way for real rest, is to come to Jesus. And his rest aligns us with righteousness. It doesn't give in to the chatter of life that sounds so good. See, that's the issue when you have a nation that from the highest echelons calls evil good and good evil. And when that confusion is there, it opens up a door for people to find a false rest, a rest that is not real, a rest that is temporary. We don't look at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. See, we come, and now there is taking a yoke upon you. The yoke there is kind of a cool picture. Most of us see it as, you know, we've heard it talked about the oxen, two oxen and a yoke. And, you know, that's really a good picture. And taking the yoke of Jesus upon you just means simply this, that you'll walk where Jesus would walk. If I'm yoked with Christ, I'm not going to walk where Jesus isn't going to go. Now, Jesus will go into some really dark places. But he'll go there in a way that doesn't taint him. And we can go to some dark places where it doesn't need to taint us inside. It's not like we need to, I can't go there and there and the other place because it might contaminate me. No, where Jesus goes, light appears, light comes, rather than the darkness stuffing out his light. So when God calls us to go into some dark places, we're yoked with him, and all of a sudden, light comes into the dark places. How many want to be light bearers?
Amen.
Take my yoke upon you. It's a marital yoke. See, Susie and I, we're yoked through a covenant of marriage. I was pondering this week. And the Lord likes to twist things on me a little bit. Because I was thinking about the yoke. And reality, most of us think, okay, I got to be submitted to the yoke. I got to be under the yoke with Jesus. And I mean, I know it's really cool, but it's really hard to stay under that yoke. What I saw in this, I saw Jesus come to me, and he was saying, I want to be yoked to you. Jesus, I want to be yoked to you.
Amen. That's right.
I choose and I delight and I'm excited, Dave, about being yoked to you. Is that cool?
Yeah, it is.
That's the delight of knowing our God and him knowing us. That's the delight of coming into this rest where we know that he delights to be yoked to me. Take my yoke upon you, Dave. I'm excited about what we're going to do together. I'm excited about being yoked to you, Dave. I'm excited about being connected to you, Dave. Whoa, Jesus, that's awesome.
Amen.
Bring it on. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. It says in some translations, learn of me. I believe the more accurate translation is to learn from him. In other words, it's not learning information about Jesus.
Yeah. Good.
It's learning the character, the nature, the heartbeat, his emotions. What makes him tick? It's observing his face. And by observing his face, I'm not saying you observe that he has a Jewish nose and dark curly hair. You're observing his countenance. You're observing the beauty of how he sees things. That when he would look and he'd see a bunch of people coming and they were sinners and they were just all messed up. And he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And compassion rose up in him. Learn from me, where we learn the priorities of the kingdom. We learn where God isn't all freaked out by our sin because he knows the answer to our sin. But his priority is when you live in righteousness. If you'll walk in the Spirit, Dave, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, the priority of religion is, I got to discipline more. I got to find out all the boogeymen that are in my history and my family's history back to the 35th and 45th generation. I got to get all that stuff taken care of so that I can live in the Spirit. I believe there is a place to, by faith, enter in. And now, if I live in the Spirit, I'll walk in the Spirit. My life becomes one that looks like Jesus, that has the priorities of Jesus, that knows the joy and the freedom of Jesus. Take my yoke upon you. Learn. Observe. Study. Not for more head knowledge and more theological expertise to be able to win some argument where they're not even asking the questions. Learn from me. Learn who I am. Learn what makes me tick. Amen. Learn why my kingdom looks like my kingdom. Learn why righteousness can be such a thrill. I was talking to somebody this week and I was sharing some of these things. I was talking about righteousness. He says, "Sounds kind of boring." Well, that's so much for my ability to convince somebody. I was excited, you know. Sounds boring. Well, you know what? Life in the Spirit is not boring. Life in the Spirit is what you have been created for. Life in the Spirit brings you into a rest. The final time where the head is no longer in disagreement and bucking every step of the way of where your spirit really longs to be. That's rest. It's doable. It's a place. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. And I'll give you rest for your souls. Who wants rest for their souls? How many think that this kind of rest is doable? How do we enter into his rest? I got 1 minute. Oh, goodness. What I have been finding is I need to speak with my mouth to my soul. And I do this, since Bob has preached, I do this several times a day. I'm becoming very aware when I'm moving out of rest. When I'm moving away from rest, I'm learning very, very early that my soul is going into this place of chatter. Soul, you get back into rest. I speak to my soul. I take and I exercise my will, that which only I'm sovereign over. God is not sovereign over your will. I'm sovereign over my will. By the grace of God, I speak to my soul and I say, you get back into rest. I'm aware. You need to know the difference between your soul and your spirit. Most believers don't even understand the difference between your soul and your spirit. How do you get to know your spirit? It says in Hebrews chapter 5, I think the end of chapter 5, it says, those who by reason of use, having their senses exercised, the way you get to know your spirit is you take authority, take possession of your soul, and you command it to live from your spirit. Yeah. You exercise from that place. And when circumstances of life want to pull you out of there, you say, no, I will handle that circumstance from this place. I am taking a stand, and I will not be moved. See, that takes an intentionality. It takes an exercising. It takes a working with the Holy Spirit in the subduing of the Canaan of your mind, the Canaan of your heart. But I tell you, there is a grace that's coming upon the body of Christ where the things we once thought were impossible are now possible. Because all of these things, you don't enter into it with a greater intellect, with a greater intelligence. You enter into it like a child with faith. Good. Believing that, gee, God says some pretty outrageous things. The Bible says some pretty outrageous things. When the Bible first, when I first grasped that, that I'm the actual righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, I argued with God. I said, that's blasphemy. I have had to submit my soul to that truth. There are outlandish promises in the Word of God. I was hoping to get into some of them. I don't have time today. But the outlandish promises that are in the Word of God are doable in this place. It will never happen over here. In this place, there is something called a gift of faith. It is a grace that comes upon us. We don't need to live like a bunch of yo-yos. That we can be a people who intentionally, purposefully know how to live from this area, from this realm. It's in you. It's infused with the Spirit of God. It's commingled with the Spirit of God. That word commingling means to blend thoroughly so that you have a unified whole. In other words, when the Spirit of God commingles with our spirit, it's not like, well, His Spirit is working in me. Yeah, you know, His Spirit is in my spirit. My spirit and His Spirit are inseparable. Now, does God exist outside of my spirit? He does. He exists in you, and you, you. He exists there. He exists in heaven. He exists everywhere. He's big. He's big, and He has chosen to reside in the Holy of Holies of my spirit. And that which at one time would strike people dead if they went into that place, we now have free access. How reconciled to God are you in Christ Jesus? I want to convince you, you are utterly and completely, if you've been born again, you are utterly and completely reconciled to God in Christ Jesus. What about the sin? What about the chatter in my head? Yeah, yeah, that stuff. Deal with it from here. Deal with it from that truth. If you'll deal with the issues of your life from that truth, you're going to find that as you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Who's on board? I want us to stand together. And one of the issues with preaching is I've had several weeks to just feed on this and meditate on this and chew it until it becomes me. I'm no longer separated from this truth. It has become me. But I'm very aware there's a lot of us in this room that haven't had the opportunity that I've had to chew on and to meditate and to come into that place. Can I just encourage you that as you lean in to the heartbeat of God, as the Word of God no longer dwells just as printing on a page, but as the Word of God becomes flesh and dwells within you, dwells among you, until you eat the body and drink the blood of Jesus. We're not talking about cannibalism. We're talking about the essence of Christ becoming you, being part of you to where you're no longer separated. I'll tell you this. All it takes is a sincere yes from the heart. And my God will lead you. He will guide you. He'll bring you into the truth. You might find different verbiage for it than I have. You might find different experiences than I have. But I tell you, this place of intimacy with God through the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. And Jesus, the very Word of God, will dwell in you, will nourish you, will feed you, will become your substance. I hate religion. I am so wearied and tired of trying to get a hold of God. The invitation just requires a yes of your will. You may be here today and you've never been born again. Maybe you've come into the kingdom because your parents are kingdom. Maybe we're Christians. Maybe you're just seeking something. The invitation to you this morning is to be born again, to be born by the very Spirit of God. See, none of this stuff makes sense until you're born again. I know there are times where I have to check myself and see that I'm in faith. Am I doubting that I'm born again? No, but sometimes I don't act like I am. I don't believe like I am. The invitation for you this morning is to have a confirmation of the Father's love and life in you. If you have never become born again, we're going to have some prayer teams up here. They will lead you into a prayer, lead you into a confidence that you are His and He is yours. That's where all this stuff starts. It begins there. From that point, I'll spend the rest of my life learning about my God, how He thinks about me, beholding the face of Jesus, learning of Him. I'll spend the rest of my life, and there have been seasons in my life where it's like something's been initiated. This might be a day for you for something to be initiated in your spirit. Just close your eyes. Incline your heart towards Jesus right now, the preeminent one. And wherever you're at, I'm talking to people on every different level in this house today. Wherever you're at, that's absolutely fine. That's not my business. It's your business with God. But Jesus is looking for a divine yes. Jesus is looking for a yes, I'll come to you. I will take your yoke upon me with pleasure, and I will learn from you. Just make your heart an altar. Pray whatever's in your heart. So, Holy Spirit, I thank you for this precious, precious group of people whose hearts are inclined to you. Father, I pray that you would quicken the reality of what it means to be reconciled completely, wholly, translated from one kingdom and placed into another kingdom. Father, I pray that we would know how to enter this rest and to remain there as your word abides in us and we abide in you and you abide in us, that there is no separation. Bless each one. I thank you for them. Quicken, Father, these realities to our hearts. We want to know more. More deeply to fall in love with you. Jesus' name.